Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
What is the leadership behavior that's most important to employees? Hello, everyone. Kevin Cruz here. And in just a minute, we're going to talk about the crisis of incivility. But first, don't forget to visit leadx.org, that's O-R-G, where you'll find hundreds of articles from the best leadership and career experts out there. Visit leadx.org. Our guest today is an author, speaker, and associate professor of management at the McDonough School of Business at Georgetown University. Her work related to incivility and its effects have been featured worldwide in over 500 television, radio, and print outlets, including Time, Wall Street Journal, The Washington Post, NBC, CBS, ABC, and many, many others. Her new book is Mastering Civility, A Manifesto for the Workplace. Our guest is Dr. Christine Parath. Christine, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So, Christine, we're going to talk about mastering civility in just a minute, but I always challenge our guests to go back, maybe early in your career, and share with us a time when you failed at something. What did you learn from it so that we can learn from it too?
Well, I think it was my academic career, my first job. It's very difficult to get tenure, and the idea is really to focus on the academic work, but I was too drawn to getting the message out there and was busy writing books and things like that. And so, you know, I ended up leaving without achieving my goal and kind of starting over, if you will. But I followed my heart, so I felt like it was the right thing to do. But I certainly paid the consequences career-wise.
So what would be your advice to someone who feels like they, you know, they chose a certain career, they've taken a certain job, and they have a clear goal, but as you said, it's just not where their heart is. They feel that it's wrong, and they need to make that leap. And I imagine it takes, you know, you had to have mustered some courage to tell the university, to tell your parents, to tell your friends, whomever. What would be your advice for someone like that?
Well, I think it really comes down to answering a question: who do you want to be? And do you believe in what you're doing, you know, professionally? And if you feel like you follow the right path for yourself, then I think it makes it a whole lot easier not to have regrets and to trust your instinct that you did the right thing, you know, even though you may pay for it in different ways.
Right. There really could be a price to pay, but you should do it anyway. Christine, your book is Mastering Civility, A Manifesto for the Workplace. And, you know, your research indicates that what we want from our leaders more than anything is respect. And, you know, why do you feel that this issue of respect and civility in the workplace is so important? Why is this a business topic?
Well, I think because it's so costly. So I think these are hidden costs usually. And what happens is when people don't feel valued, when they don't feel respected or appreciated, they don't give as much. A lot of this may be intentional. You know, over 2/3 of people will cut back their efforts. 80% of people will lose time worrying about it. 12% of people say they've left jobs because of one incident of this. So I think, you know, in general, there are just a whole slew of costs to organizations when people aren't feeling respected. You know, in experiments, I found that people can't focus as well. They aren't as attentive to information. Cognitively, they function much slower, even in terms of memory and processing. And this is true for witnesses as well. So it really is contagious. So the costs add up very quickly. And so that's the main reason that I think organizations need to focus on it. And those that do, I believe, will have a competitive advantage because, unfortunately, it's very prevalent and it's on the rise.
Yeah. And LeadX listeners, you may have heard me say before, and you know, my work on employee engagement, you know, satisfied is not enough. What we really need is for people to give us their discretionary effort. And as Christine said, you know, people are just not going to give us as much if they feel that they're being disrespected, or as something I learned from the book, even if you witness it, if it happens to somebody, you know, in the cube next to you and you're the witness, it is contagious. It can hit you too. But Christine, let me play devil's advocate, because I think there's going to be a lot of people out there that say, wait a minute, like, what's wrong with emotional honesty? Are we all just getting too sensitive these days? Is the new generation extra sensitive? And they'll use people like, you know, the mythical Steve Jobs, and he would apparently stomp around, tell everybody their work was garbage and not good enough, and yell and stomp, and people would say, oh wow, it drove me to my best work, and look at Apple, they're so amazing. So how would you counter that?
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I mean, some people are more sensitive than others. And, you know, there's certainly a lot of individual differences when it comes to that. But when I talk about civility, when I study it, I'm not talking about not giving direct feedback or negative feedback. So there's certainly, that matters a lot. That's what helps improve and lead to improvement. So, but I think the whole idea here is it's the how that matters. So it's the delivery of the feedback that can be more important than the message itself. And there's some really interesting work on this, which shows that people respond better to negative feedback done well, you know, with nods, with a smile, with, you know, a desire for their improvement, than giving positive feedback. So I think if we focus on the idea of being direct and giving, you know, negative feedback, but really focusing on the how, that will help cure things. You know, when it comes to Steve Jobs, it's kind of a classic question. And I mean, I agree with Richard Branson when he talks about, you know, the idea that Steve Jobs was multiple standard deviations outside of most of us. So I think he's a little bit of an outlier, but, you know, a couple things. You know, I've heard from coaches that have worked with him or in Apple at that time that when he came back to Apple, he was a different guy. I mean, it doesn't mean that he didn't stomp around or he didn't go off on people, but I think he did it less so. And I think that it was fewer and far between that, you know, people understood that he was trying to improve. And so I think that in general, there's a lot of research also that shows that it doesn't pay. That, for example, the number one characteristic associated with executives' failure is insensitive, abrasive, or bullying style. While the number three is aloofness or arrogance. So while I think like power can force compliance, incivility or disrespect can really sabotage support in crucial situations. So for example, you know, employees may not share information or they'll withhold efforts or resources. So typically I see that payback to uncivil leaders comes back, you know, when they may least expect it. So I think that rude people in general, leaders, succeed despite their incivility, not because of it.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of great points on that and around Steve Jobs. And I think every now and then when I hear someone use the Steve Jobs example, I'll say, well, first of all, you're no Steve Jobs. So, you know, he was, you know, very unique and had a certain, you know, air about him and all the rest. And I even would argue even more strongly that, okay, so Apple, you know, achieved what Apple achieved and their people achieved what they achieved, but perhaps they would have been even greater, even longer lasting, even have a greater legacy if, you know, they led with love and civility instead of, you know, this brash style, at least in the early time. And if you look at the early part of Jobs' career, you know, the Macintosh and all that, I mean, he wasn't succeeding internally or by traditional business measures. So, you know, maybe that had something to do with it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, great points. I agree.
So, Christine, you say that this really stood out to me in the book. You say incivility usually arises from ignorance, not malice. And the reason why I paused is because as I'm reading your book, I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm not rude to people. I'm not mean to people. I'm not arrogant. And then all of a sudden I'm like, well, if it's coming from ignorance, maybe I don't know what I don't know. Maybe I have a blind spot. So what are some common blind spots leaders might have? You know, how are we unintentionally being rude to people?
Yeah, I think the most common thing I hear when I go into organizations is people complaining that their leaders aren't paying attention to them. You know, they're just not very attentive. So, for example, leaders will be on their iPhone or on their laptop when someone's trying to, you know, convey some important information or have a one-on-one meeting with them. And so, you know, it's that fact that leaders are multitasking or they're tethered to the technology, especially in meetings. And, you know, of course, that is not intentional. Usually you'll hear leaders when they get that feedback saying, you know, I'm just trying to fight fires, or I'm just trying to do the best that I can. But they have no knowledge that that's, you know, being taken negatively by other people, you know. So I think that that's probably the most common one, is the multitasking and the failing to connect with people. But I think also, you know, most of us tend to interrupt people in ways that shut them down, or a lot of leaders do. You know, and many times it's because they're brilliant, or because they're used to, you know, kind of having the floor and controlling meetings. But you'll hear that teams are less willing to share information, for example. They just, you know, they feel like they're cut off or they're not valued. And so that's interrupting is a big one, especially with leaders. And then, you know, one that comes up sometimes is this idea of, you don't realize when you're talking badly behind someone's back. Mm. You know, I love Marshall Goldsmith, who I really admire, gives a great example of this in his book, What Got You Here Won't Get You There, where when he first started collecting 360 feedback, people told him this, and he had no idea. In fact, he couldn't think of one instance when he had done this. So I think that for many of us, it's these little things that we're just unaware of. You know, I think that's probably the biggest thing I've learned, is when I started this research, I thought, gosh, there's some real jerks in the workplace. But where I've landed is, I think the vast majority of this is just a lack of self-awareness.
So much great stuff to highlight there, Christine. I'm looking up as you're talking about Goldsmith's book. You know, I've got a copy. what got you here won't get you here, right up on the top of my bookshelf, where I put the books I reread like once a year. And that passage in his book was the one that stood out to me the most, because first of all, it was very vulnerable of Marshall Goldsmith to say, look, here's where I screwed up. Like, here's where I was, you know, messing up. And it kind of changed my learnings from the book. It's like, okay, I can obviously see myself in many of these things. And again, it's not from malice. It's just sort of unintentional. And you also talked about just not being attentive. And it reminded me of an executive coach, Roger Lipson, who told me that he does all this one-on-one coaching. And what he sees in the 360 feedback, 360 survey feedback over and over, is people saying, you know, geez, Kevin's so rude. He doesn't even like make eye contact when he walks past me in the hallway. Now, you talk to the executive, and it's exactly as you've said, is well, Kevin says, I was racing to my next meeting. I was thinking about my to-do list. You're right. I didn't even see you in the hallway. Like, I'm just in my head thinking about work. But we need to realize as leaders, you know, it's not just about managing tasks. We're trying to lead people. And so making eye contact, smiling at people, saying good morning as we walk by the first time in the morning, not staring down at our laptop or our phones. I mean, these are simple things, and we need to realize that, you know, they matter a lot to those around us.
Yeah, I love that idea. And, you know, one of the organizations that I learned this from was Ochsner Healthcare System down in Louisiana. And they came up with this 10-5 rule. So they wanted people, you know, employees to, if they're in 10 feet of each other, to acknowledge them and smile. And if they were within 5 feet, to say hello. And, you know, people were a little defensive about this initially, especially some of the doctors. But what they found was it improved the internal metrics, you know, things like satisfaction, motivation, so forth. But it also increased not only patient satisfaction, but patient referrals. So I think it's also evident of these little things matter not only to those around us, but then, you know, they're contagious. You know, they shape our interactions with others afterwards, too.
Wow. The 10-5 rule. I hadn't heard that. I just took a big note on that one. I think that's great. And healthcare systems are, you know, among all the businesses out there, really tuned in now to engagement and things that drive it, like civility, because there's a direct link in healthcare, obviously, between healthcare results and safety. And now that hospitals and healthcare systems, part of their money, part of their reimbursement comes from these HCAHPS scores, these patient satisfaction scores. Getting a smile from the nurse or the doctor is more important than ever before.
Absolutely. You know, and I think it's interesting. I've been fortunate to work with some doctors lately, and, you know, a lot of them are interested in changing the way that medicine is taught too, because they feel like, you know, oftentimes doctors, surgeons are kind of the ideas being very direct, flexing their muscles, you know, screaming orders, things like that. And we know from a lot of this research that people aren't able to focus as well. Like they're not able, they miss information, things like that. So I think safety is a real issue. And, you know, I'm happy that there's great research being done to show that there are other ways that might improve patient safety.
Yeah, absolutely. So Christine, before we wrap up, I always like to challenge our LeadX listeners to just get a little bit better every single day. You know, I like, it's fun to talk about these big ideas, but I want them to anchor it and try something so it sticks. What can you challenge us to do today?
I think it would be to listen better, you know, to be present and attentive, as we were just talking about, because it's really essential for creating, maintaining, and deepening relationships. And, you know, it's the opportunity to signal that you care, that you're committed, and that you're interested in having a connection with the person. So, you know, I think it also can lead to vital information and insights. And as we talked about, employees that don't believe their bosses are listening, they're far less likely to offer ideas, helpful suggestions. And research shows that they're much more likely to quit too.
No, right. Okay, so Christine, what's the best way that our listeners can find out more about you and your work?
So I have information on my website. It's christineporath.com, and there should be resources and articles and such there.
Wonderful. All right, friends, you've just been mentored by Dr. Christine Porath. Don't forget you can get the link she just mentioned and notes from this interview over at leadx.org, and you can get Christine's book from amazon.com or your favorite bookstore. Until next time, remember, leadership is about influence, not authority. We are all leaders. The question is, what kind of leader will you be?